Welcome to our Sunday message for Sunday the 10th of November 2024. Our starting scripture is found in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm going to read from verse 11 to 13. Ephesians chapter 4, 11 to 13. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He himself gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints. Heavenly Father, once again, we are grateful to you for your word. This written document in our hands contains life. As you, the Holy Spirit, use it to infuse in us the power of God. Open our minds, we pray, as only you can do. Grant us revelation from on high, and help us to be better equipped, as always, to extend your kingdom on this earth while we are here. We give you praise in the wonderful name of Yeshua. Amen. We are continuing on this journey of helping us as children of the living God to fit in with God's great plan. As we've said all along, God has a plan. He has an agenda. And you and I, if we want to live life to the full, we'll have to somehow fit our agenda into his agenda. And it's not really that difficult in the sense that that's what we were created for. What we are saying here is that it's only when we, as human beings on this earth, with our allotted time, fulfill the purpose for which we were created, that we will experience life in its true sense. Life with a capital L. Now, we have been trying to explain that God's plan for the world is obviously to save the world, bring it back to him, but the vehicle that he has ordained to use is his body, the church, with Christ as the head. And we as children of God, part of that body, if we want to fulfill our purpose on this earth, need to find out where exactly God wants us to fit in, where he wants to use us in this great edifice, if you want to call it that, this organization, if you want to call it that. All these words fall short of the mark, but this operation known as his church. And before we can actually find our place, what we've been saying is that we have to know a bit about how his body is supposed to function. As we've mentioned, the false ideas that we've been given, the preconceived ideas, the misconceptions, have greatly contributed to confusion in the body of Christ. Many people that I know have been thwarted in their quest for life because of a false understanding of what the church is and not realizing her importance, the vital importance she plays in the world and in our lives. Why? False understanding. So, one of the main tasks of this teaching is to try and break down in our minds false understandings. And the only way to do that is to present the truth. And we find the truth in God's Bible, his word, as some would call it his handbook, although it's much more than that. But you see, he has got a particular plan of action. And if I can put it this way, his plan of action is a system. God works with systems. Right from the first day of creation, he put in place a whole lot of systems. What I mean by a system is something that will just operate naturally. He put in place laws of nature, which means that those laws of nature will take care of the earth. He placed spiritual laws into the earth as well. And you see, it's not a case of every day God has to go out and make sure the acorn falls to the ground. He doesn't have to make sure that the clouds drift around. He doesn't have to make sure that the ocean currents and tides change. He doesn't have to make sure that the earth has a day and a night. All these systems he put in place and he left them to work. We need to grasp that. God has set in place various systems. Now, what we have also taught extensively is this fact, and it all ties in with what the Bible describes as understanding. You see, understanding from a Bible point of view is not just having some additional knowledge. Essentially, it means knowing how a particular system works. You see, if you and I know how a system works, we can get that system to work for us. By moving and working with the system will work for us. If we don't know how the system works, that very same system can be used, because of our ignorance, by the enemy of our souls to destroy us. There are many obvious examples in life, one of which is gravity. Gravity, if understood, can be used for so many purposes. All of life depends on gravity for us to remain fixed on the earth and for everything around us to work. The whole universe works according to a system of gravity. Everything that orbits around the earth does so because of gravity. Our orbit around the sun is because of gravity, the gravitational pull of the sun. The list could go on forever. Mankind has around us a system of gravity which we understand in part and which we can use to our benefit. However, if you and I jump off the top of a 20-floor building, ignorant of the laws of gravity, we will soon find out about them to our cost. My point is this: we have to understand the system if we are to function properly. And that same principle applies throughout the spirit world. The Bible describes a whole lot of systems, and if we can grasp these systems, we have understanding, and we add to that wisdom, which is applying the system correctly, we will have life, you see, and that's God's plan. That's why he gave us this Bible. Well, you see, the same principle applies to his church. God put in motion, after his death and resurrection, on the earth, a system, which is his body, very much like a human body. The human body runs according to so many different systems. Now, you see, this great body is capable of redeeming the earth. That is her function. If God didn't plan for that to be the function, then he would say, well, it might work, it might not. But God doesn't work that way. All-knowing God puts in place a system that will work every time. It will work every time. However, we've got to understand how it works and work with it. If we don't understand how it works, we can end up working against it, which has been the case in so many instances, and which is why, to a large extent, the kingdom of heaven hobbles along under a whole lot of misconceptions. And despite all of these, by the way, still many people have been able to build her up and use her powerfully. But you see, as you said right at the beginning, this V12 racing engine needs to fire on all 12 cylinders. And that's part of the purpose of why we are teaching these things. So we are going to spend time now, as we mentioned in our last lesson, talking about the body of Christ, as we titled the last message, Church Orientation. As you and I go into a new job situation, it's natural to spend time being orientated about that particular company, how they work, how their systems work, etc. And that's what we are doing now from the Word of God with regard to the church. And my point is this, as we learn about this, as we give, as it were, a broad sweep of what departments are there, or let me put it another way, what needs she has according to the grand design, the chances are greater that you and I might find where we particular are called. And that's how God builds his church. He himself gave some to be, and then he lists the various functions, etc., which we're going to talk about. But you see, how does he do that? He places in your and my heart a desire to fit into a certain place. That's how he does it. God's a perfect gentleman. He doesn't just say, oh, well, I need that, so I'm going to put you there, irrespective of how you and I are wired. No, no. God does it differently. But you see, he wants to do it. What he's looking for is people that are available. And that, to a large extent, has been his problem. The church, running efficiently, could have wrapped up history a long time ago. We could have, using the power available to us, restricted the activities of the enemy to some small remote island, which at any stage we could have possibly decided just to nuke and get on with heaven on earth. In a sense, that was the plan. But of course, the enemy got in first to a large extent and placed misconceptions, misunderstandings, which, without further ado, we want to proceed to try and unravel. Now, God's church runs according to a particular, if I can call it this, a DNA. As you know, nature has, as man has discovered, a system of DNA. All life is propagated through this chemical system, which obviously is way beyond my understanding. But you see, the whole idea is that that DNA is placed on the earth, in the church. And you see, if that DNA is given the environment in which it can start to operate, the body of Christ will automatically function. Not just function, but function efficiently, and not just function efficiently, but ultimately take over. The body of Christ is designed to rule and to reign, not to crawl around like sniveling rats, trusting God that something good one day is going to happen. But we have to understand the system. We have to unleash the power of the system. I hope we've got this across. Now you see, this whole system is founded upon what I will call five mighty pillars. Five mighty pillars. The Bible speaks about apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And if you read that scripture in context, you'll see that that is what God has placed on the earth for his body to build herself up. If these five functions are operating correctly, the church will function powerfully and in the right manner and successfully. So you see, right there, the enemy's tactic has been to sow confusion. When you and I speak about these particular ministries, and I use the word ministries very selectively at this stage, because we need to explain it in more detail. But you see, the moment you mention that, and in many church circles, we regard them as what is known as fivefold ministry, you see? Fivefold ministry. Confusion is sown immediately. And the reason being, obviously, to frustrate the function, frustrate the purposes of God. But the confusion is essentially misunderstanding, which does not distinguish between title and function. Title and function. I need to explain this in quite a lot of detail. because the devil has hamstrung the church because of this. Now you see, when the Lord speaks about the fivefold ministry, as it were, what he's revealing to us is the five functions that have to be operating in the church for her to work properly. It's like any business. In any business model, there are certain things that have to be in place for that business to operate properly. If you do not have one of them, the whole thing will collapse. You might take an industrial enterprise. Of course, very important is the ability to create product. That whole process involves so many things. Procurement of raw materials, skilled workmanship, equipment, workspace, work ethics, payment of the workers, etc. But that whole department has got to produce the product that's going to be sold. Now, having the product to sell is not enough. You have to have people out in the field that are selling the product. Can you see? Otherwise, you end up with a whole pile of stock that's going to do nothing but rot. You have to have people out there selling. At the same time, you have to have people that are maintaining, a whole maintenance department. You have to have a whole personnel department. If the people that are working are not taken care of, not properly paid, not given incentives, etc., that whole business can come to a grinding halt. And then you also have to have, obviously, cash flow. You have to have money coming in. You have to have resources coming in and managed as well, so that there's enough money to get the product, to pay the staff, and ultimately sell the product. See, and that in turn creates more cash flow, etc. And in all of this, what you do have to have as well is management. You have to have people at the top, as it were, overseeing everything. You can't expect the factory worker to decide, oh my goodness me, we're running out of cash flow. I better go to our stockbrokers and get them to raise more cash. You can't expect the salespeople to worry about, oh my goodness, the machinery is breaking down. I better go back to the factory and do my part. You understand? Every part to function properly has got to be managed properly, overseen properly. People need to know what they've got to do and to be doing it. It's very simple, really, but it's not that simple. Well, the church is the same. And what we don't understand very often about this great piece of machinery, as it were, is the various components, even though they are clearly described in the Bible. Now, as I said, it's built on these five pillars. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And the point I'm trying to convey here is that this refers not to a particular title of a particular individual, but it applies to a function. Let me just say that again. It doesn't apply to the title of a particular individual. That's not the point. It applies to the various functions that have to be operating for the body of Christ to operate correctly. In context with what we've been saying, that function is a particular need that the body of Christ has. Remember, you and my purpose is to fulfill a need. You and I are designed to fulfill need. What we have to be aware of is, in the body of Christ, what the needs are, generally speaking. And that's what we are talking about here, you see. Now, the confusion comes is when we conflagrate, as it were, title with function. Something that's quite amusing to me, very real, by the way, but it illustrates this point perfectly. There's a doctrine which vehemently maintains that the days of apostles and prophets is over. When the last apostle died, that was it. A line was drawn in the sand, and we will see apostles no more. Now, that in itself is very interesting, especially in the light of the scripture, which speaks about he himself gave some to be apostles, so that we could be built up in the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Well, my question is, has the church, have we been built up as a perfect man to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ? Well, the answer is obviously no, we haven't. So you see, you put those two together and you realize, well, there's supposed to be apostles around until that happens. And until Christ comes back again, I don't think any of us will be able to say that it has really happened. My point is that the apostle, whatever he is, whoever he is, whatever it is, will be around from time immemorial almost. But you see, the problem is, the confusion comes in trying to tie that title to a particular man. In this case, to the 12 men that we know as the 12 apostles who obviously eventually passed on. You see, the same organizations that will say that apostles no longer exist are the same people that will send missionaries all over the world and be very proud of them, and rightly so. But let's look at the actual language. Do you know that the word apostle is actually the word from the Greek apostolos, to send, somebody who is sent? Do you know that the word missionary is taken from a Latin word, missio, which means, guess what? To send. So we've got people that can't possibly be apostles, people that are supposed to be sent, but we've got lots of missionaries that have been sent. Can you see? It doesn't make sense at all. The fundamental problem is that we've misunderstood that what is being referred to here is function. For the body of Christ to work properly, there has to be within its ranks a function, which the Bible describes as apostolic. But that doesn't work on its own. There has to be within the ranks also the prophetic ministry. But that on its own is still not enough. There has to be pastors, the pastoral anointing. There has to be the teaching anointing. And there has to be the evangelist. Can you see? These five functions, that's what I like to call them. These five mighty pillars, these functions, if they are not found in the body of Christ, if they are not found operating as they are supposed to, in concert with one another, that's so important to grasp. An apostolic ministry without a pastoral accompaniment or a teaching accompaniment will fail miserably. But we're running ahead of ourselves here. The point is this, that you see, we need to recognize that this is the structure that God had in mind. This is the DNA. And the point is, this DNA can, as it were, take various forms in different locations. In fact, it's designed to adapt to any kind of situation. It will work with people who gather under a tree as their form of worship. It will work for people who gather in a massive cathedral for their form of worship. It will work for a group of people who gather together in a home, in any locality, in any kind of cultural background. Each culture will add to it its own, as it were, flavor, but it will not change the basic recipe. It cannot. That, in a sense, was the problem with the early missionaries. They came to uncivilized nations, as it were, and their plan was to first civilize them and indoctrinate them. And they thought that they would transfer their particular style of worship into the middle of darkest Africa or the middle of China. And thank God for these people who came and brought the gospel. The one thing they did do was bring the Bible with them. But you see, the efficiency only came about when, instead of transforming the people into a different culture, as it were, they brought the five pillars into that society and allowed them to run with it. That's why the Chinese home church movement is probably the greatest church in the world today. But you see, the problem is, we're not talking about a form. We're talking about a substance. We have to have certain things operating And those things will operate in different ways in different places. Some evangelistic thrust will take the form of massive evangelism campaigns. That same thing can take the form of simply meeting with people on the street, going from door to door, friendship evangelism, you name it. Any kind of function. But you see, the point is this, the function has got to be the same. Fundamentally the same thing. You take a vehicle. How many different kinds of vehicle are there on the road today? The number is endless and it's continuing to expand all the time. Every single car looks different, different color, different shape, different manufacturer, different size engine, etc. All very different. However, guess what? There are certain things every one of those vehicles have got to have. They must have an engine. You will not hear about a motor factoring company that produces vehicles with no engine. They will cease to exist. Why? Because they will not be able to fulfill the function for which a vehicle is made. But you can't just make engines. Of course, you've got to have wheels, a chassis. The list goes on. You understand there are certain fundamentals that have to be there. The same with the body of Christ. For the body of Christ to function properly, there have to be certain fundamentals in place. Wherever she gathers, and that's the nature of the body of Christ, it's people gathering together in his name. Those people, you and I, have got to do something. We've got to function. We can't just exist, as it were, and spectate. The church of God was never designed that way. We've got to function. But you see, here we've got to understand that we will all have different functions. And we need to know what those functions are. And inevitably what will happen, you see, as you and I learn about these various functions, somewhere along the line something will just trigger inside of us. Something will just ignite in our heart. And we'll know, yes, that's the area that I need to somehow be involved with. And then the whole process of tuning our gift in our particular way to fulfill that function is something we will discuss. But to start off with, we need to know what these functions are. We can't have this funny idea that, oh my goodness me, so-and-so is a mighty apostle. And half the church thinks, wow, what a wonderful ministry. And the other half thinks, oh no, they're in error because don't you know the apostles died out. Can you see? What we need to understand what this apostolic function actually is and how every one of us, in a way, is involved with it. Once again, you see, you and I don't just jump into becoming a mighty prophet or pastor or whatever. We learn about these things. It's a whole process. But the whole point of this teaching, as we are going to go through it in the next few weeks, is to look at these various functions in detail. So every one of us has an understanding how it's supposed to work, what the function is. So we're not shocked by it, we're not frightened by it, but rather we can embrace the beauty of God's creation, the beauty of his church, the beauty of this blueprint, how it's designed to work so smoothly together, which would enable the church to go forth and grow and grow and grow and take over the whole earth. I pray that you and I will be blessed as we continue on this journey together in the wonderful name of Yeshua. Amen.